All right, welcome to part one of our series, Choose Joy. Anybody got joy in the house? Awesome, awesome. After those videos, I feel like I've already had church. Let's go home. Hey, it's good to see you in the house today, and want to welcome all those that are in the house via technology, our online campus. Come on, give it up for all those who are joining us online each and every week. So glad to see you. All right, so, you know, I'm looking around at all the different jerseys and seeing what everybody's teams are, and a lot of you don't have a dog in the hunt, I'm just saying, but I like this guy's shirt back here. He's got a Cross Point Worship Center shirt on. He's Team Cross Point. I like that shirt, right? And if y'all can't see it, I'm loyal to the team across the street, UNC Charlotte 49ers, those 49ers, but hey, I could get used to this casual kind of attire, but I hope you're all having fun. We have a lot of fun today. I believe that God's going to take us and is taking us into a season of joy. And I think it's extremely important because the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're weak in your faith or weak in your walk, it may just mean that you need an infusion of joy. And I hope that this series does this for you. And this is not just surface, external kind of pumped in joy, but actually what we're talking about is even when everything around us is going awry and going wrong, there's an inner joy that we can have in the midst of it all. And so we're going to talk about that. And I do want to thank those that have prepared for a small group today. I hope that you'll join us at the end of the service in the lobby as we've showcased some things, and there's some cookies out there and candy out there and some sign-up sheets. And so really, really excited about that. So be sure and connect with that. You can also find some information online in our online directory, crosspointworshipcenter.com/groups. So hope that you'll avail yourself of that. Want to jump right into this series. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I want to begin with a scripture. It's found in Isaiah, and we've got message notes there for you in your worship guide. You can access those and fill in the blanks for you. Also, that's available right now online. If you're watching online, you can download those as well and follow along with us. This passage of scripture found in Isaiah is very prophetic. Isaiah chapter 61. In fact, Jesus, hundreds of years later, walks into the temple and takes the scroll out, takes Isaiah out, and reads it in front of the people there, sits down, and then says, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so what Jesus was saying was that was prophetic of him and what he has come to do. And as we look at this, I want us to see some things in this. He begins by saying this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." I'm going to stop right there and let you just let you know there's four things that I want us to see in this proclamation that Jesus made when he walked into the temple. And I believe Jesus still wants to make those proclamations to us today. It's his agenda. It's what his purpose in our life is. And really, it's the four things that we do as a church. And we see these throughout Scripture. If you've been through the growth track, you'll know that we cover these four things. And we talk about the fact that they're in the Great Commission. They're in the last words Jesus said before he left this world. And they were in the words that God told Moses to say to Israel. But we see him also here, and that's that we take people on a four-step journey. We believe it's God's will. We want people to know God, right? We want people to find freedom, discover their purpose, and then make a difference. And we see him here because he goes on to say, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news or good tidings to the poor. So, hey, everybody, the announcement is if you've got sin in your life, listen, you don't have to pay for that. If you've got sin in your past, you don't have to pay for your sins. The good news is Jesus paid for them for you. That's good news. Come on, that's worth, come on, a Super Bowl shout right there. And so that's step one. We want people to know God. That's what Jesus is saying. And once you have entered into that personal relationship with Jesus and you've made that personal commitment to him and he's now Lord of your life and he has forgiven you of your sins, then he goes on to say, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening of prison to those who are bound. So he's saying, I've come to bring healing in your life. I've come to break those things off of you, those old habits that we're addicted to, those old sins, those old ways, that thing that has got you bound. He's come to break that off of your life and heal you of those things and heal you of those habits and those addictions and those weaknesses to your own cravings. He's come to break that off of you. And then he goes on to say, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day and the day of vengeance of our God. And notice, listen, the vengeance isn't against you. The vengeance is against the devil, who also has an agenda for your life. To comfort all who mourn, so he's come to give you a purpose, to console those who mourn in Zion. And then he says, to give them the beauty for ashes. So now he's brought healing in your life. Now you know him, he's giving you freedom. And now, listen, in replace of those things, he wants to give you beauty for your ashes. For all of those places where there was a mess in your life and there was confusion in your life and there's destruction in your life, no, I'm going to make that place to be a place now of beauty. And so we're going to help you. He wants to help us find our real purpose, that what God has always planned for our life. And it goes on to say, the oil of joy for mourning. Verse 4, and goes on to say, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness. One translation said the oaks of righteousness. In other words, hey, you're like a strong oak tree. God's going to establish you so that no matter what winds of life are blowing against you, no matter what circumstances are coming against you, you're standing strong. You're planted. Come on, everybody, in the Lord. Trees of righteousness, that the planting of the Lord, and he may be glorified. He may be glorified. And then, after all of that, notice what happens. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. So for that one that's now knows God, has found freedom, discovered their purpose, now God's going to use you and I to then make a difference in people's lives. They shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. They're going to make a difference. You and I are going to, God's going to use us to make a difference, the desolations of many generations. So look at those four things that we see there. And I just want to say, God has always wanted these for your life. And look at me. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. For what Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross, took pain in his body to purchase for you those things that God wants for your life. And I think sometimes we live way beneath our privilege with what Jesus has already paid for us. But I want to focus on one section of that. And I kind of want to point out those four things are in that scripture. But I want to kind of pull something out of that that points us to this installment of our message regarding choosing joy. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3 says, to give them the oil of joy for mourning. Joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now I want you to notice, there's a lot of heaviness and depression and discouragement and all those things that sometimes come up in our lives. And I know that sometimes that can be circumstantial, but I also want you to recognize that it's not always just circumstances and external things going on, but there is a spirit of heaviness. And there is a spiritual battle at times that we are in. And so I want you to recognize that sometimes it's a spiritual thing, but God has the power to break that thing off of your life. And sometimes, though, when we come to God, we say, well, God, I just want you to fix this thing. I want you to change all my circumstances so that I'll have joy. But rather, God, you know, instead of just giving us a bed of roses and everything around us just perfect, he says, I'm going to help you find joy in the middle of your trouble. But you've got to get the big idea here, and that is that you've got to choose it. You've got to choose it. So, in other words, you won't feel it at first, but you've got to choose it first. Because choices lead and feelings follow. Right, everybody? Choices lead, feelings follow. So, circumstantially, you may not feel like you have a reason to be joyful, but you're going to have to choose it. You're going to have to choose joy. Choose joy. And sometimes we're looking into all the wrong places in order to find joy. We want everything fixed. We want everything fixed in our life. You know, just we want everything perfect, but there can be joy even in the midst of that. It's like the guy who went to the doctor and he said, "Doctor, I hurt all over. I'm just hurting all over." He said, Where are you hurting?" "I'm hurting head to toe, doctor. I'm hurting everywhere." "He'll show me where you hurt." "Doctor, it hurts here. It hurts here. It hurts here, doctor. It hurts here." And the doctor looks at you and says, "You got a broke finger. That's what's the problem, you know." Okay, that's funny. Come on, y'all. That's funny. I don't care what you say. All right. In the Old Testament, David is he's an amazing, amazing person of the Old Testament. And in Psalm 78 and verses 71 and 72, it talks about the fact that David, he shepherded his people with skillful hands and integrity of heart. And I think that's what I'm hoping to do. I hope we can do that as a church. We want to do things well, but we want to do things with purity of heart. The New Testament, if you were to pick out a hero of the New Testament, it would have to be, for me, Paul. Paul has to have one of the best attitudes of anybody in Scripture. I mean, this guy, he was shipwrecked. I mean, the ship fell apart. He was bobbing around in the Mediterranean Sea, the Bible tells us, for about a day and a half. He finally crawls up on an island. A snake comes out and bites him. You know, I mean, this guy had the lashes, the Scripture says, that Jesus took of the rods 5 times, the ones that almost killed Jesus, and even before he went to the cross, 5 times he received those. He was stoned, and I said the other Sunday, not recreationally. Stoned, not recreationally. I can't get a laugh out of y'all. Y'all got any joy out there? I mean, just saying. Somebody said, "Well, at least he got some relief." No, that's not. No. That's not the kind of stoned I'm talking about. He was literally stoned, and yet his response to all that was, "Hey, I got the victory. I'm pressed, hard pressed on every side, and yet not in despair." Well, how? How does Paul do that? Well, I'll tell you how. He made some choices. I'm going to tell you some things today that aren't going to necessarily blow your mind. You know, they're not going to be those things that we don't know. They're possibly things that we do know. But at times, the genius of a sermon is not in the, "Wow, I've never thought of that before," but it's the stuff you've always heard before, but you've never started doing it yet. And we need to start doing some of this stuff. I like what Karen said as we were approaching this year. Karen Stone, our Dream Team coordinator, was saying that she believes we need to move into a season of action. The action word is action. And take action. We need to start taking action on some of these things we know. Paul, this is the way he responded in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, that he was sorrowful. And yet, instead of curling up, you know, my feelings are, I want to curl up into a ball and hide in a corner, but he said, "I'm sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." Rejoicing, rejoicing. "And I don't have a dime to my name, but hey, yet I'm going to make others rich. And I don't have anything, but yet I have everything." That was Paul. And in this series, I want to take us on 4 choices. In these 4 weeks, today and the next 3 weeks, 4 choices that I believe if we will make the choices, if we'll take some action, we will discover joy on the other side of that. And the first choice is that we need to pray. Pray first. We've had bands in the past that says pray first that we wear. Pray first. As a church, we want to pray first. That's why we're coming to church on this first Sunday of February, that we're going to come and we're going to pray, and then God's going to bless the rest of the week. We're going to pray first. We're going to, listen to this, prayer should be our first response and not our last resort, right? I mean, sometimes what we do, we just kind of have, you know, just like when the house is on fire, that's when we pray. No, we need to pray first. It should not be our last resort. And you look at, I want to look at in Philippians, as we, if you, as you look at your notes here, I want to look at the book of Philippians chapter 4, and really this message is just an outline of Philippians chapter 4. An interesting thing about this is Paul is in prison, and this is one of what we call the prison epistles, meaning he would rather be out preaching somewhere, but instead he was arrested, and he's in this place, and he's probably bleeding from being beaten. He's in a dungeon. I mean, this is a hardcore prison. It's probably underground, no windows, with bad people. And yet, 27 times in this letter to the Philippian church, he uses the word rejoice or joy. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. So he says, joyce and rejoice. Y'all get that? That's funny. Come on, y'all, help me. Joyce, we're going to joyce, and then we're going to rejoice. We're going to have some joy, and we're going to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. And then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. What do you mean, gentleness? I'm upset here. I'm in turmoil. I'm in depression. What do you mean? Because when you rejoice and you rejoice, something's going to happen inside of you. Your nature is going to change. It's going to be evident to all. And why can you say all that? Because the Lord is near. Because the Lord is present. You know that this is true when we read the scripture, and we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks, but we'll hit on this scripture. But we know that in His presence is where fullness of joy is found, right? So it's in that place of prayer. It's in that place where we get along with God that we discover all this can happen. So here he is. And the next, talking about rejoicing, and the next thing he's talking about is prayer. In this passage, this is a passage that joins prayer and joy the best. And when you outline this passage, you'll find there are five things that prayer produces that all result in your joy. So I want to encourage you to implement these in your life. Now, again, this is a choice. You may choose not to do this, but I'm telling you, if you'll do this, you're going to discover joy. Joy is going to happen. And here's what we see prayer produces. Number one, write this down. Prayer replaces worry. The English word for the word worry is strangle. And that's what worry does to you. It's just like you're choking, you're strangled. You got problems and issues, and maybe it's financial, maybe it's relational, whatever that is. But it just feels like it's strangling you. You can't hardly breathe because of the worry. But yet, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. How can I do that? But in every situation, by prayer. This is how you're not anxious. It's by prayer. Someone said that worry borrows from the future. It hasn't even happened yet, but it borrows from the future. And so if you worry and it does happen, then it means you've worried twice. And if it doesn't happen, it was a waste of time. Worry sets up things that is not even there yet, but yet we worry about it. The Message translation of that verse says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. It's a substitute. You got to flip it around. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And then he goes on to say, Matthew 6 and 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? We worry, but prayer lets go of those things. And I think we all are guilty of worrying. My wife and I just last night, Kim was telling me, I mean, you ever have those days where you're just having a tough one? You're having a tough one, and it seems like, you know, I'm just struggling here, and I'm worrying about everything, and everything seems to be closing in. And I'm always telling Kim, look what time of day it is. You know, that's usually about sunset when that happens. And I told Kim, I said, you know, maybe that's why in Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote, "Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning." I'm thankful that we get a new morning. I said, let's don't worry about anything tonight. Let's check out. Let's come on, right? Just punch out. Punch the clock. Get off the clock. Come on. And just say, God's going to give us a new beginning in the morning. I like mornings because you get a do-over. You get to try again. The sun comes up. Thank God. His mercies are new every morning, right? Just go home, watch something of no educational value, you know, just do something, you know, watch HGTV or something, dream of getting a house in the Caribbean, I don't know, something, you know, and just relax, let it go, start again tomorrow. Don't worry, but the better idea is just pray and give it to the Lord, give it to the Lord, right? Well, if you got room, you can write for extra notes, you can write this down. What we worry about most reveals where we trust God least. That can be an indicator, right? But let's move to this next one. Number two, prayer relinquishes control. It relinquishes control. And a lot of times, though, we don't pray that way. We don't pray and relinquish control. At best, we want to co-control, wouldn't you say? You know, God, we'll work on this together. We'll, you know, let me tell you how this needs to be done, God. But I'm not going to give you full control. I'd like to, but I still got to have a certain percentage. I'm a stockholder here, so you know, I just need co-control. I'll refer to me and Kim again. We were sitting on the couch the other day, and I was just wrestling with stuff. And worrying about things. And I just stopped. And I turned my palms upward. I got real still. I said, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all." All it took was one little chorus like that, really meditating on the Lord. I just felt His presence come in the room. Anxiety began to leave. Peace and joy began to fill the place, right? I recommend that. We got to relinquish control. Relinquish control. Paul goes on to say, "By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Present them to God. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Again, what we do is when we pray, when we present our request to God, instead of relinquishing control, we tell Him how to do it. "Now, God, this is what needs to be done, and this is how I would really like You to do it." Instead of relinquishing control and letting Him have it. But we must relinquish control and present our request. And then what will happen is, when we really, really do that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, whether you've received the peace of God may tell you how well you've presented it to God, if you've really relinquished control. Write this one down. It can't be God's problem and my problem at the same time, right? It's got to be His. It's got to be His. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." If you go to the lexicon and look at the original translation of that, or meaning of that word cast, it really means to throw on, which is why in the Phillips translation of that verse, it says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxiety on Him, for you are His personal concern. You could throw the whole weight on Him. Come on, how many of us I've just sung an old song. How about that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, right? Remember that song? Anybody out there knows that song? What a friend we have in Jesus. Come on, choir rehearsal here. All our needless. There. All right. How about this part of it? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, right? All because why we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Come on, thank you for your help on that one. It's the truth. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. So how is it that you have all joy? It's as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, write this one down. Prayer regulates thinking. It regulates thinking. And as I think about this, I wonder, what are we regulated by? I'm not sure if we're regulated by prayer if we're not praying, but what are we doing that regulates our thinking? Could it be, and I hate to hit on this again, but here we are, it's regulated oftentimes by the things we watch and the things we listen to, the things we're constantly putting in our brain, the social media, the things that that a lot of times, maybe a lot of us look at that we shouldn't look at, and we think, well, I got a filter. I could filter through. There's that movie, but there's that one bad part, but don't worry, I can filter that out. No, you can't either, because that filter is internal, and it's still filled full of junk and mess in your mind. It's still within you. So we wrestle with things because of what we're exposing ourselves to, and I think we need to pull back. And I know we just did 21 days of prayer, and here I am talking about prayer because prayer didn't stop in 21 days. What I'm saying is this needs to be a lifestyle. So the first message after the 21 days is about prayer. We need to continue to pray so that, as Paul goes on to say, what will happen is this in our life. If we put these things in our mind, in our heart, again, Paul's showing you how he can have all this joy. And he gives this advice in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Think about these things, right? Think about these things. Praying unto God. Colossians 3 and 2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And so what prayer does, it moves us closer to heaven. It's not just about calling heaven down, but it's moving us closer to heaven. And I think some of us may need to, you know, don't just, after these 21 days, just put all those things right back in your life. Maybe you need to make some choices there. C.S. Lewis said this great quote, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Look at number 4. Prayer reveals contentment. Contentment. See, a lot of times what happens when we go to prayer, we say, God, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. I need. But if we spend enough time in prayer, what we'll start praying, because we realize it, because the Spirit begins to reveal it to us, is I have, I have, I have, I have, I have. You find yourself being content through this process of prayer. And Paul goes on to say, let's go on further into this chapter, verse 12. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. There's a secret, I believe, what he's saying. Because if you look at it all in context, he's saying, I spend time in prayer. I spend time in His presence. That's the secret. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He learned all this in prayer. And so did David. David in the 23rd Psalm. Anybody know that one? Verse 1 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." I have no want. I have all that I need. Write this one down if you've got room somewhere. "I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides." Right? He's all that we need. He's all that we need. And sometimes, unfortunately, we have to get to the place He's all we have before we realize He's all we need, right? Wouldn't it be great if you realize it, you know, when the sun's shining, when everything's good as well? He's really all we need. And even when you got all the stuff that He blesses you with, He's still all that you need. Can I get that's a good place for an amen right there. All right. Number 5, prayer relies on God. It relies on God. That's why, and you know this one, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." I can. I can be the pastor that God wants me to be. I can be the father that He wants me to be. I can be the husband that God wants me to be. I can be the friend that God wants me to be. I can be the person that God's called me to be, right? I can, because of Him that gives me the strength. And then in verse 19, he goes on to say, "And my God will." I love this. I can because God will, right? I can because He will. I can because God will. "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And Proverbs 16 and 20 says, "Those who trust in the Lord will be joyful." Now, we just need to memorize that one. Take that one and put it on your mirror or on your refrigerator. Those who trust in the Lord will be joyful. And your joyful state, listen, that's where your strength comes from. You're strong in the Lord. No matter what's happening, you're strong in the Lord because the joy of the Lord. No matter what, there's still a joy in the midst of it all. And it's because you're trusting in the Lord. Whatever you're trusting Him for, you can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of that because you're, listen, because He's there. His presence is there. He's with us. I don't know what your prayer time looks like. There's times I've prayed in different ways. And I think there's seasons for praying different ways. Prayer is conversation, but sometimes it's confrontation. There's a spirit of heaviness that sometimes you got to come against. You got to contend for the faith. There's some territorial prayer that sometimes you need to pray and take some territory, right, from the enemy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember we would be over, you know, before we came into this building, and we've done it here too, but I don't know, it just comes to my mind many times in our original building, which was a house, y'all, converted into a church. And we would pray to the north and the south and the east and the west. "Give them up in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on." Anybody pray like that? You know, from the north, south, east, and west. And sometimes I still pray some. And it's called the war room. Sometimes you got to go in the war room. Anybody seen that movie? The war room. But there's other times that I recognize the value of just being intimate with the Lord. And recognizing the sweet aroma, the sweet presence when He comes in the room and He fills you. That moment when you say, I just surrender it all to You, God. See, sometimes we just want to pray heaven down, you know. God, come down, get them, Lord. You know, come on. I need You to do this for me and do that. And come on, God, move. Come on, show up, man. God, come on, man. We need You to, come on, do this for us. Do this. Show up. See, prayer is not just about praying Him down. Prayer is about lifting us up into His presence. Prayer is about Him picking us up, causing us to see things from a higher perspective, seeing people through His eyes, seeing hearts, not faces, seeing needs, not just challenges and problems, seeing hurting people that come across as
vindictive and angry people, but actually there's hurt underneath all that. Because hurting people hurt people, right? Prayer lifts you and helps you to see through His eyes and gives you His heart and helps you to begin to function in your marriage different and function in your workplace different and function in the classroom different and on campus different because you've been in His presence. It's David when he spent time in the presence of the Lord and alone with Him and just sheep around Him and playing the harp and experiencing the presence of God that understood the value of that intimate time with the Lord that caused him to be able to be called to the presence of Saul the king, who had an evil spirit, come on, a heavy spirit upon him. And David came in and with praise ushered in the presence of God Jehovah. And when God Jehovah, the presence of the Lord, came in the room, guess what? The evil spirit departed and left. I just want to recommend that may be what you need to do in your marriages and in your relationships and in that struggle and that thing that's causing you anxiety and stress and worry is to usher in the presence of the Lord. Come on, everybody. I believe this is going to be a season of great joy at Cross Point Worship Center. I believe God has taken us, but how's it going to happen? It's going to happen with us inviting His presence into our midst and His presence into our conversations. And when you're frustrated and you're angry and you're wanting to spew and spit and sputter and everything else on Facebook and respond on Twitter and Facebook and email and text and all that stuff, instead, you're going to pray first and you're going to invite His presence to come in. And then you're going to, come on, you're going to dispel some love, not some hate. Come on, right? Write this down. Prayer doesn't move us toward God. And I know an element of that can do that, but let's look at it this way. Prayer moves us. Let me look at that again. Prayer doesn't move God toward us. Prayer moves us toward God, which is what I'm saying there. I just don't want God to come into my situation. I want him to invite me into, come on, operating in a different place. If you've written that down, would you just bow your heads with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to pray, and I want to rebuke the spirit of heaviness off of you. Some of you may have things on your heart that you just causing you anxiety, worry. I know, we know, we're all in this together. We all experience these things. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Jesus has purchased for us peace, and He offers us His joy. So God, I thank You for this beautiful, beautiful Cross Point family, for this group of people that have come into this house. And I pray for each and every one of them, God. Pray that they would experience everything You have for them. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I break off of them spirit of heaviness. I break that addiction and that habit and that mindset that leads them down the wrong path, that holds them captive and strangles them. Oh God, we break that off of them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare by the authority of the Lord that Your peace is our peace. In fact, You said You offer peace to us not as the world offers, not according to our circumstances. God, You give a peace that's heavenward, that's from heaven. You give us a peace and a joy, oh God, that is deposited on the inside and shows up on the outside. Oh God, by faith we receive that now, Lord. I pray, God, Your peace, Your presence, the fullness of Your joy, God, enter our hearts, enter our minds, enter our thinking. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may be here this morning and you don't know really where you are as far as spiritually in your relationship with the Lord. And you need Him to be the center of your joy, the center of your life. I want to lead you in a prayer if you're here in this house or watching online. that's you today, and you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice for joy, which really boils down to a choice for Jesus, that He be the Lord of your life, that He be the center of your life. I want to lead you in a prayer, but if that's you and you say, when you pray, would you count me in? Would you lift up a hand? Let me see who I'm praying with right now. Yes, good job. Proud of you. Yes, 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 good job. If you're watching online, would you join us? Invite you to join us as well. Come on, out loud. Can everybody pray this for support? Come on, pray this from your heart. Thank you, God, for loving me so much that you sent Jesus to me to pay for my sins, to heal my heart, to give me a purpose, to help me to make a difference. God, take my life. I give it to you. Forgive me for going my way. Today I choose your way. I choose you. I invite you to come in. Make me brand new. With all of my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. Come on, say it the Bible way. I declare today, you are my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life. With all my heart, I will follow you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every person who just prayed that prayer. Now, today marks a new beginning. Today it belongs to you. Oh, yes, Lord, we cast all of our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. Our life, as David said, is in your hands. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us, for filling us. God, for filling us with joy, for filling us with purpose and meaning and fulfillment, God. Thank you for directing our life day by day. Use us, Lord, to make a difference, God. For everything accomplished, we give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, resounding, amen.